along with everybody else that has a sports podcast or sports show, we are also doing an emergency podcast, Mason, because the biggest news in the world of college football and probably years just came out this afternoon. And I asked you before the show, where are the tissues? I see you're in the Bama shirt. I don't see any tissues in the view here. I'm just gonna give it to you here for a little bit. And,
So my tears have dried up completely. I have nothing left to give. So that's why the tissues are not here anymore. So the news drops around 4 o'clock, right? So I get home. I'm sitting here chilling, hanging out with my kid. And then, boom, I get a Twitter notification from Adam Schefter. And it says, another coaching move. And that's all it says. And I was like, oh, another NFL coaching move. Let's see what this is. Click on it. Chris Lowe, ESPN. Nick Saban has retired. And I sat there, silent. My jaw dropped. Becca's sitting there asking me, what's wrong? Are you okay? What's happening? And I'm like, you got to take the kid. I just hand her off and I say, I need to go sit in the car for a minute. I hop in the car and I just drive to the gas station and I get some chocolate covered pretzels and I'm like, all right, I just need to sit here and accept my fate. So yeah, it hit home when it first happened. What's crazy is I've been preparing myself for this for about 2 years now because I knew it was coming. Everybody knew it was coming. I didn't think it was happening this year at all. So the fact that it happened this year really did surprise me. So I've been trying to prepare myself, but it still hits, dude. Like the fact that it's actually happening is just kind of crazy. Like it honestly, it's kind of hard to put into words. The fact that this man has been in my life for 17 years, absolutely running college football. It's been a lot of fun. It's been an absolute blast. So I'm not going to be one of the people on here acting like Nick Saban died, which is I'm seeing a lot of for some reason. People are out there putting oatmeal cream pies and flowers on his statue. So let's take a deep breath, everybody. Okay, he did not die. He's just retiring. Everybody expected him to retire. So let's just take a deep breath. But I kind of, at this point, I'm looking at it more from a grateful lens because the fact that, like you said, 17 years, man, 6 national championships, endless amounts of wins, endless amounts of NFL players. Like it's been incredible to be a fan of and go out and cheer for it every single season. So the fact that he's retiring, I'm happy for him because dude's in his 70s. Like you got to give it up at some point. So the fact that he's walking away the way that he did, they had a good season, won the SEC championship. It is what it is, man. I'm going to miss him so much. I hope he just like stays a little relevant. Just like hop on TV every now and then, just so I can know you're okay, Nick. That's all I ask. Okay. I know you're going to be chilling and you're like at your lake house, but just a TV appearance every now and then would be cool. All right. Just let me feel better that I know you're okay. But it's still weird, dude. Like, I still am, like, I'm happy. My first reaction was, what the heck? I'm sad. But I'm happy for him. But I'm still sad because it just sucks. So I call my dad and I tell him about it. And he's like, why do I feel like I just lost a family member? And I was like, you know, at this moment, I kind of feel that too. Emergency podcast. When you texted me emergency podcast, I was like, I can't do this. I absolutely can't do this. But here we are. Nick Saban. 6 national championships, crazy amounts of wins. It's been fun. It really has been fun. And even after I'm trying to prepare myself for 2 years, it's finally here. I thought I had another year. Man. But then, okay, so today was a whirlwind also, just in itself, because so you have everything going on. I hop on Twitter. I think it was around like 2:30. And I saw that he was calling a mandatory meeting at 4 o'clock. And instantly when I saw that, I was like, It's a little fishy there, Nick. What you got going on, buddy? But I didn't let my mind go to retirement. But here we are, retirement. Go for him, though. Go for him.
This is the sound of acceptance. You've gone through the stages of grief in the span of 4.5 hours. That's impressive. Yeah.
I haven't quite honestly hit the alcohol stage yet, so.
you skipped past it. Congratulations. You didn't go to the store and not come back. So that's always a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay, so that's your perspective. Here's my perspective. I've been busy. This is one of the busier days that I've had at work. And so I'm just like answering phone calls left and right, kind of chilling out, trying to in between calls. And then I finally get a little break. I'm texting Courtney. She just went over to her parents' house to go see her parents with the kids. And then she's texting me. It's like, hey, you know, Kennedy's turning one this week. We're doing a birthday party. Hey, can you call Publix and make sure that our cake stuff is all good to go for Saturday and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I see I have a text from you. I'm like, oh, cool. Mason texted me. What kind of troll thing are we about to start this time? You know? And I like was like, he just like texted me. He's like, no, I'm not okay. I'm like, did he text the right person? Like, what's going on? So like I texted you, I was like, wait, what? And then I'm like, I guess I need to pull up Twitter. And I immediately saw it as at the top of my timeline, Chris Lowe, Nick Saban retires. I was like,
yep.
Wait, what? It's like, is this real? Like, what the heck is going on? And this is at four, like you said, 4 o'clock, last hour of the workday. And I basically did nothing for the next hour because I'm just sitting here like, this is awesome. Obviously, from my perspective, this is awesome. But what the heck? Like, I felt like it kind of felt like this isn't how it's supposed to happen, is it?
That's
like,
what I thought,
like,
too.
Some, like, random thing. Like, he didn't really come across as the Coach K type where he wanted to do one last full season as, like, everybody knows you're retiring, swan song type thing. He didn't come across like that, but I don't know. It just kind of, I guess maybe if you read into it now that we know that this is it or was it, we probably could have gone back and looked at and analyzed the way that he talked about things and kind of the shots that we had from, you know, after the game with Kirby Smart and all this. Like, we could have been like, okay, like, yeah, it definitely makes sense now. Like, he already kind of maybe made up his mind. I don't know if he made up his mind before the season or during the season or what, or if, you know, he just kind of decided once the season was over, after he looked over everything, is like, you know what, this is it. Like, I don't know. And I don't think we'll really ever know, but it just felt weird. But from the LSU fan perspective, the nightmare is finally over. It's finally over. The guy that was once ours is now done forever, which I am completely fine with. And let me just say this. Outside of Alabama, LSU in the past decade and a half is the only program to win the most national championships besides Alabama. And could have been more. Could have been more. And it wasn't more strictly because Nick Saban was the guy. And he's the dude. He's the GOAT. No one is even close. Bear Bryant isn't even close. It's harder to win. Recruiting and the scholarship limitations and everything else that went into it, it didn't matter what level it was, what new came out, playoff, NIL, transfer portal, whatever. And he was always on top, always had double-digit wins every single year. And it's crazy, Mason. I guess the older that I got, the more I was – okay, like, listen, I don't like him because of what he did, but I had grown up and matured in that, you know what, like, he's the best. I don't like the school that he's at. I despise the school that he's at, but I at least respect him and know what he has done to the sport. So in that aspect, it really is, in a way, sad to see him go. That is the only aspect that is sad. And like you said, I can't wait to watch him on College Game Day next year because you know what's coming. He's got to be on game day next year. Replace Corso. It's going to be great. He won't do the Corso bit, but he's like, listen, he's got to do it right. Like, there's no chance he's not.
I would hope so.
And then eventually he's going to become the commissioner of college football, which is what he's vying for. So
he should just go ahead and start that now. Well, take a year off. Enjoy your year off. Because knowing him, he'll probably get the itch about, I don't know, probably about 3 months into retirement and want something else. He'll probably try out TV for a little bit, and then I'll become commissioner. That's the trajectory for him right now.
But yeah, absolutely, he's going to be commissioner.
But what you were saying earlier, like, yeah, if you look back on the season, it felt like there were a lot of breadcrumbs that were obvious, but they weren't obvious at the time. Like, there was a lot of stuff he was saying to the media that was not normally Nick Saban-like. And also, the big thing to me is, like, you saw his wife and his daughter, like, 10 times more than you did any other season. Like, Miss Terry was super involved with this team. Not saying she isn't normally, but it was a lot more on-camera involvement. You heard a lot more behind the scenes from her, too. And so it's like, looking at it now, it's like, okay, it does make sense that this last year was kind of like a swan song for him, but in his own style, where it's like, I'm not telling anybody I'm done at the end of the year. I'm just going to randomly do it one day. Because like, to me, this is just like perfect him. He doesn't want that kind of attention. So obviously it makes sense for him to do it on a random Wednesday at a random time. And so, yeah, like it, the other thing is like, I know a lot of people are already sitting there saying, He has a coach in waiting. He's already given his input on who he thinks should be the next coach and blah, 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 blah. I don't think so. I don't look at him as the type of guy who has a plan for that for his predecessor. And so, like, I do think he would give his input if asked, obviously. But at the same time, I don't think he's sitting there saying, hire this guy. This guy is who's going to be after me. Like, that's just not the type of guy I think he is. And so that's another interesting aspect. But yeah, like there was just so many breadcrumbs throughout the year that just kind of makes it obvious now that, yeah, this was his last year.
Yeah, I mean, and kind of to that last point that you made, I mean, one of the main reasons why Bama was so bad after Bear Bryant, and then obviously you had the short stint of Gene Stallings, but the reason why they were so bad was because they were kind of stuck in the, hey, you have to be a Bryant disciple to be able to coach here and to do anything important here. And then Nick Saban had to basically like destroy that and start ground up. And so I can't really see him being the type of guy now that he's done that is going to be that kind of same thing. It's my way, the highway type of thing. Obviously he's going to give his input with whoever they decide. They're obviously going to ask what his input, because you know, he's been the man for so long. So he's for sure going to give his thoughts and analysis on it. But it's definitely can't be a, hey, I'm done, this is who you're hiring type situation for sure. There's no way that's going to be the case, just from his own experience and what he knows what it takes. Like, he knows what it takes to build a program. And he knows that, like, hey, like, if you're going to hire a guy, he has to be able to do it himself and do it his way. And whether he agrees with everything he does, what the new coach does, doesn't really matter. Courtney, do you want to come give your thoughts on your no? Okay, well.
She's not ready to talk yet. Can.
She's not ready to give her her thoughts on the podcast again. But yeah, like, whoever's going to be is going to be, and that, listen, Alabama's AD has been able to basically live for free as the AD, yeah, because he hasn't had the pressure of doing a head coaching job like every single other AD and past AD in the SEC has had to do. So now pressure's on. You keep your job by making the right hire. And if you don't, you're going to be gone and you're going to be probably losing some money. And there's a lot riding on this because of how much of a cash cow that Bama job is. So I guess now is, I guess, the natural segue into talking what's next. I mean, obviously, we're only four hours past the news being broken, but that's the way business goes in college football. You got to act quickly. The 30-day window for any Bama players to enter the transfer portal is open specifically for them because of the coaching change that's now happening. So you also need to hurry it up so you can make sure you have a roster. And it's at a weird time. I mean, it's usually the dead period. This is really kind of one of the worst times you can possibly try and find a coach and get a staff together and make sure you got recruits and everything. So let's go ahead and talk about it. Obviously, Dan Lanning is at the top of every single fan's list, whether I agree with it or not, it is. So I guess we'll start there, Mason. I know that's who you want.
Well, hold on. So why don't you agree with it? You just think he's not going to leave, or you don't think it would be a good hire?
I don't know how I feel about Lanning, honestly. I really,
really
don't.
Really?
I have the suspicion that he could end up like Mel Tucker.
Wow.
He had early success at Oregon. Part of that is because of transfer quarterback and a great offensive coordinator in year one. And then senior six-year quarterback Bo Nix. The best teams they played, they've lost.
That's a good
super
point.
Easy schedule. We went over the rankings and the strength of schedule and all that stuff in our blind resumes. I mean, they beat up on bad teams this year and then lost to Washington both times they played them, which were the best teams they played all year. So I don't know. It's twofold for me. One, I think he could end up being a Mel Tucker. I personally, this is his second year ever being a head coach. I don't know how comfortable I would be if I'm the AD at Alabama, how comfortable I would be of giving the keys to a guy that's still kind of learning. Obviously, he seems to be the hot name, but that's just my opinion. Second thing is he has a $20 million buyout. Obviously, yeah. There are people that would pay that, but that's a lot of money. And Oregon, and this is going to be something that we're going to disagree with, and I already know about it, and I knew that we're going to have this disagreement and conversation, and that is Alabama a great job because it's Alabama, or is it a great job because it was Nick Saban?
I think it's a great job because it's Alabama.
I don't think it is. And here's the reason.
Why?
Because you're not in a talent-rich state. You also share that state with another Power 5 school in Auburn. And I think those two things, if we're going to be comparing jobs like a Georgia, Ohio State, LSU, though there's one more that I'm forgetting. Those to me are on a different level. The thing that Alabama has going for it is obviously the history, because you've had the two greatest coaches ever. That's just my opinion. I don't know if it's the greatest ever job. I'm still not saying that Oregon is a better job than Alabama. I just don't know how much better the Oregon job or the Bama job is than Oregon, that Lanning would leave to go into the SEC to follow Nick Saban and all that kind of stuff. So there's kind of a couple of conversations there. I mean, you're Oregon, you're going to the Big Ten, still getting tons of money. You're over in the West. You can recruit California all you want. You have Nike money. I mean, it's not like you're poor. You have great facilities. Then there's Bama, where you're going to be battling Auburn. You're going to be where you're going to have to get talent when you're Bama. Is you'll get some players from Alabama, but you then got to go to Georgia, which you're fighting Kirby Smart currently. And we'll get to Kirby Smart here at the end of this emergency podcast, I'm sure, at some point. Got to go to Georgia, got to go to Florida with a rising Florida State, Miami, and if Billy Napier or Florida gets their act together, maybe Florida as well. You got to go to Louisiana. LSU is locking down the state. They just hired Bo Davis as defensive line coach, looking at like Corey Raymond going to be DB coach, so they're locking down that. You got to go to Texas. Texas is rebuilding. Texas A&M still there. Oklahoma gets recruits from there. So you're a little bit more competitive, and now you don't have the allure of, oh, hey, we have Nick Saban, and that's going to bring you to school here.
That's fair. Yes. But I think at the same time, you do have to kind of look back at the history of it, because Alabama has been able to have that type of success twice now. So like, yes, all of your points are fair and true. But at the same time, it's not like you sit back and you say, okay, hey, Bama's at the top of the SEC. It's going to be easier to recruit from this point going forward if you're coming in, because you already do have that built-in success. And so like, you're going to have guys who are still going to want to come to Alabama if you're a guy like Dan Lanning, because Dan Lanning can recruit, and he also does know the South very well. He does know the certain areas to go and look for. He does know how to go into Georgia and also recruit the state of Georgia, because obviously Georgia is very talented, a talent-rich state. Same thing with Florida, same thing with Texas, same thing with Louisiana. So you're going to be able to still have that same type of success if you're the guy, the right guy for the job, which I think Dan Lanning is because of how he kind of built his program. He is a very good defensive mind. And also, he does have kind of that ground and pound a little bit. They weren't able to do it as much this year at Oregon because their running back was a smaller guy. And like you said, they do have a they had Bo Nix, who's a six-year quarterback. And so I think he has the right frame of mind and mindset going into it, because if you look at him from the outside looking in, he is a I'm confident in who I am. I'm going to tell it to you straight. I know how I want to run my program. I know the right way to do it because I have seen it under Nick Saban, and I also have seen it under Kirby Smart. And so he has the blueprint and the right frame of mind to be the guy to come into a situation like Alabama's, to where it's like, I'm not going to be Nick Saban. Nobody needs to expect the next guy coming in to be Nick Saban. And I think that's kind of going to be a problem that we're going to hit, because a lot of people are going to look at it and be like, Nick Saban was the greatest coach of all time. How are you going to replace that? You can't replace it by being Nick Saban. You have to be yourself. And I think Dan Lanning is confident enough and a good enough coach to come in and be that type of guy. So that's kind of why, like, I think he should be the guy based on the success that guys have in the SEC. Good recruiter, really good defense, know how to control the lines. He's got all three of those, and so I think he can come in and be successful. That's why I would have him at the top of my list. But there are a lot of guys out there right now, but I don't know how I feel about most of them. Let me pull up the list that you sent me.
Yeah, so I texted you the odds for next head coach at Alabama, and I'll go ahead and read some of the top ones on here. So right now, Dan Lanning is the favorite at 3-1. Your guy, Dabo Sweeney, at 4-1. Lane Kiffin at 5-1. Old Deion Sanders at 6-1, along with Kalen DeBoer at 6-1. Pat Shurmur at 9-1. Urban Meyer 10-1. And old Billy Napier, for some reason, is 14-1 because it's worked out so well in Gainesville. Derek Dooley 14-1. Mike Norvell 16-1. Surprised he's not a little bit higher. And then the last one that I'm really going to read off is Ryan Day at 20-1. So give me your thoughts on Dabo Sweeney.
God, no.
You know, people were convinced, what would it be, 4 years ago that he was going to follow Nick? Because obviously he's from Alabama, from Pelham, played football at Alabama and all that nonsense, and was doing a great job at Clemson. And then now, because his Clemson program has kind of fallen a little bit because of him not willing to do transfer portal stuff, everybody has now turned off on that idea. Yes. Give me a reason why it should. Listen, I know you don't want him.
No.
But I'm going to force you to tell me why he might be a good fit at Bama.
I think the reason he might be a good fit is for some of the reasons that you just laid out with his past history with Alabama. Played there from the state, XYZ. He grew up a Bama fan, so obviously he's going to have the heart for it. They were able to have that insane run. Okay, you had Deshaun Watson, you had Trevor Lawrence, like you won a couple of national championships. So yeah, like he does have the pedigree, but he's not bought in right now to what college football is at this moment. And if you're not going to buy into what college football is right now, you're not going to have much success. And that's why they've struggled the past 2 years, like, or especially last year. If you're not hitting the transfer portal at this time, stay away. I don't want it. Okay. Stay far away from me. Dabo, you are a great Christian man. You just need to live up to your contract that you signed. Okay. Just stick with it. Ride it out with Clemson. You've got great. You're probably the greatest coach in Clemson history. You won all the national championships with them. Ride it out with Clemson, Dabo. That's all. Just stay there, please. I'm begging you.
So then we'll go to the opposite end of the spectrum, Mason, when it comes to the whole transfer portal, and that's old Lane Train, Lane Kiffin. Listen, if I would have brought up, and I think this is so funny, me bringing up Kiffin, I know I brought him up last year whenever we were doing our yearly talk of, oh, is Nick Saban going to retire? Who would you want to replace? Some kind of talk that seemed to always happen until now. It's an actual legit conversation that we're having to have, right? And anytime that I brought up Lane Kiffin, whether it was you or really any other Bama fan, they either hated it or they just thought it was funny because it's never going to happen. And now I'm hearing that apparently Bama fans love the idea of Kiffin. So complete 180 in a year or a year and some change. Give me some thoughts on the old Lane train possibly being the next one at Bama.
Last year, I was completely out on it. Right now, I'm not in on it. Like, it, when you go down the list, just kind of looking at it from a fan perspective, like, to me, he's probably the second most realistic option. So I wouldn't necessarily hate it as much as I did last year. I don't want it, but if it happened, I wouldn't be completely against it. He does have a fantastic offensive mind. He is a solid recruiter. He obviously just went crazy in the portal. He has a weird ability to connect with the recruits coming in. So he's going to be able to pull guys in. I think if you hire him, you're going to be able to keep most of the guys that you have currently and not necessarily worry about a bunch of the team entering the portal, which is a big thing you got to actually worry about right now. That's kind of why I'm thinking we'll hear something within the next probably 24 to 48 hours about who the next coach is going to be. I don't think this is going to linger long at all. I think it's going to happen quick. So I'm not necessarily out on Lane being the coach. I would prefer Dan Lanning. Obviously, I've said that he's my number one right now. But I don't know. I'm kind of in a weird place with Lane. I definitely want him over Dabo, though. So I just want to throw that out there.
How about your boy Deion?
Yeah. This is...
Saban's going to be the, if that happens, he's going to be the most polarizing option on the list.
Yeah.
Is Deion Sanders.
The reason I hated that Saban's retiring this year is because I really wanted to see Deion have one more year at Colorado and see what he could do. Obviously, this year it started off incredible. Then it fell off very badly. but I don't think you can blame a ton of it on him for it falling off. Obviously, he's a head coach. You got to do your thing. You got to go out and beat Stanford. It's Stanford. You should beat them with your eyes closed. But they did have a weak roster up in the trenches. And so I wanted to see it for one more year before I fully bought into Deion. I think I would rather have Lane over Deion. They're kind of in the same boat, though. It's like, we get Deion, cool. I'm not going to be mad about it because I like the guy and I know he can recruit like crazy. So, oh, dude, this is crazy. I'm getting stressed. But, yeah, Deion's my guy. So, obviously, I wouldn't hate it. But at the same time, it's like you have 1 year under your belt. You lost the last 8 games of the season to not even get yourself bowl eligible when you only had to win 2 more games. So, I just wanted to see it one more year.
So right Kalen now, DeBoer.
See, he's an interesting one because obviously Washington did have a really good year. So I'm not super bought into Kalen DeBoer, to be honest with you. I think he's more of kind of how obviously. Okay, I think he's a better coach than Sonny Dykes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going crazy. But I think it's kind of the weird thing as how it was last year with Sonny Dykes. Like, you took your team to the national championship. Obviously, your name's going to be popping up on coaching lists. So I'm not super bought into Kalen DeBoer just because it was kind of a one-hit wonder this year, for being honest with each other. I do think he's a good coach, but I would kind of put him a little bit lower on my list.
He would be at the top of my list.
Really?
Because he's won everywhere he's been. Every level that he's coached at, he's won.
Has he actually won, though?
He won national championships before he went to Washington.
Where?
It was at a lower level in college.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking. Okay. Sorry.
And he's had two super successful years at Washington. And beat your boy, Dan Lanning, all three times.
That's fair.
All three times. Both in the same situation. Actually, Lanning in a better situation than what Kalen DeBoer came into and beat him all three times. He would be at the top of my list if I got to pick. Because again, he's won at every level. The only thing that Lanning has over him is that Lanning has coached in the Southeast and has been able to recruit in that area. And I don't think Kalen DeBoer has been outside of the Northwest. I'm not entirely sure on that. So don't quote me, but that would be kind of the only benefit. But dude, Nick Saban is from freaking West Virginia and coached at Michigan State before he went down to Louisiana and then Miami and then Alabama. So like at the end of the day, Brian Kelly is a Northeast guy from Boston and coached at Central Michigan, Cincinnati, Notre Dame before he came down to LSU. Okay. So a lot of times people in coaching searches, especially when it comes to SEC coaching searches, are like, hey, they have to be from the South. They have to have coached somewhere in the Southeastern Conference and blah, 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 blah. You know, that's what you got with Billy Napier. And obviously it didn't work out for Auburn with Brian Harsin. That's the one that people like to point to is like, see, he wasn't from the South. And so that's why it didn't work out. But Nick Saban, Brian Kelly. I mean, come on, guys. Like, there's plenty of coaches that's not. James Franklin at Vandy, super successful. I brought up, obviously, I think James Franklin should never be the choice for Alabama. And if he is the choice, I will laugh and will be grinning at you every single week just knowing that James Franklin is your coach. But I will say, his record in the Southeastern Conference, getting Vanderbilt to 8-9 wins consistently, super impressive. And he's not even from down here, you know? So just kind of wanted to put that out there. But yeah, Kalen DeBoer would be my number one guy.
Get that out of here. If it were me. Freak. Goodness gracious.
James Franklin, go ahead. Tell me why it's a good fit, Mason.
No, absolutely not. I'm not even speaking on him. get him out of here. The thing, though, is
go ahead.
So obviously the list that you sent me is very long. The only other
Urban Meyer.
No, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I think if he gets hired, it'll just be funny. But
Will Muschamp.
No, I'm good on him also. I think honestly, the only other two names on
Trump
there that
Moore.
Is just about to say him. He does interest me a lot. I would actually be very happy if we were able to pull that off. I don't think it's going to happen, though, just based on the fact that I think he's waiting for Harbaugh to make his decision.
Michigan job. Yeah.
If Michigan comes open, I fully expect him to be front runner for that job. Probably already has it if they have any idea that Harbaugh's leaving. So I don't really expect it. But if Harbaugh was to stay at Michigan, I would be bumping Sherrone Moore up to number one on my list. 100%. Just based on the fact on what he was able to do this year. Obviously, the first three games of the season, me and you could have won those three games. So kind of chalk that up as whatever. But the last four games, they did have some really tough games. Obviously, he was able to beat Ohio State. He's able to beat Penn State. And the offensive line that he was controlling the entire season was dominant. To a different level of dominance, if we're being honest with each other. They were probably easily the best offensive line in the nation. So the fact that he's able to control that the way that he was able to step in and replace Harbaugh for the games that Harbaugh missed this year, and it's like they didn't even miss a beat. So I would have him towards the top of my list for sure. I think it's a long shot. I don't really think it's going to happen because I do think he is going to end up with a Michigan job. The only other one on here that is like I would – just die of happiness is obviously Steve Sarkisian. I don't think there's any chance that he leaves Texas.
No.
If he does, I would cry because Sark is my guy. I love that dude so much. So obviously he would be my number one for sure. I don't think it's happening. I don't think there's a chance at all that he leaves Texas. Honestly, it wouldn't really make sense for him to leave. What he's built something really good right now at Texas. They have all sorts of stupid money up in there. It just doesn't make sense for him to leave. But so I think breaking it down for me right now, realistically, I would probably go Dan Lanning, Lane Kiffin, and then I would have Dion and Kalen DeBoer as a tie.
Why would you have Dion? Come on, that's a joke, right?
I don't know. I can't give up on him.
There's no way they would give Dion the keys.
I don't think.
No way. No shot.
I think it's just a personal thing. I just love him. Okay. So if I take my love out of it, I would have Kalen DeBoer at three. I think the fact that I have them at a tie right now is telling me that I would rather have Kalen DeBoer over Dion.
Yep. So Kirby Smart to the Falcons is next. The next shooter drop, right?
That'd be cool. Because I'm very tired already of seeing Georgia fans right now. I saw one dude. He sat there and he said, the last national championship that Nick Saban played in, he lost to Kirby Smart. So thank you, Kirby. Or thank you, Nick Saban, for leaving on this note, losing to us in your last national championship and giving us Kirby Smart. Georgia fans, dude, get out of here.
You know, didn't they just lose?
Yes, they did just lose in the freaking SEC championship, but no.
Got left out of the playoff?
Yeah, freaking jabronis. They have two good seasons, and they think they run the world.
Well, they've always thought that they are God's gift to football.
Oh, 100%.
Dude. So.
I think it was a blackout game when Alabama played at Georgia. I think it was 2009. Yeah, it's 2009. So I went to it, and the entire time I was just getting barked at by Georgia fans. And I was a little 11-year-old Mason was just walking around Athens getting barked at by everybody. I was like, what's going on right now?
11-year-old you probably deserved it, though. So let's be honest.
That's, you know, I can't deny it. I can't deny that. I was a little snot-nosed preteen.
I can confirm that, by the way. So first emergency podcast. Crazy news that just popped up. But thank God it's over. Thank God the rain is over. You will never experience this level. Just get that in your brain, Mason. The level that the program has been is not going to be back at this level. No one's going to be another Nick Saban. And that's going to be the problem also, is that because of such the high expectations, as soon as whatever coach you hire loses three or four games, boy, hot seat, and then you're getting into trouble. So good luck, because you're going to need it.
The big thing for me right now is whoever's the next guy, everybody just has to give him some time and some space. If he struggles next year, you cannot fire him after the first year because he did not win a national championship. It's probably not happening, okay? Let's be real. So you just got to calm down, everybody, please. It's going to be okay. If we come down to earth,
for them to rename the stadium?
Ooh, great question. I hope it happens next year. Bryant Saban Stadium.
Do they actually go name stadium, or do they do the lame thing that some other teams have done, whether it be football, basketball, or baseball, and just name the field after him?
God, I hope not. They need to name the entire stadium after him. I think it'll be the stadium. I'm not even going to get worked up over that because I'm about 95% sure it'll be the stadium.
Now it's just all about, hey, what isn't going to happen?
Yeah. Man. Wow. It's actually over, dude. Okay. I was just looking at the list again. Excuse me for 1 minute to go backwards. Mike Shula being on the list. What are we doing? 28-1? Who put this list together? Bet Online? Come on. Mike Shula on there? That's just stupid. Please, God. I would rather have Dabo. All right. I'll take Dabo over Mike Shula. Okay. So Dabo's not at the very bottom.
Haha, Clinton Dix is on there too. And I think I saw like there. The list went a little bit further. I didn't clip it all for
Bill
you.
Belichick's on there.
Other, like, oh, like guys, come on.
I always think it's funny when they put NFL coaches on there.
Dare you to hire Bill Belichick? Dare you?
Would that not be great? I'll take a year, Bill Belichick. Why not? Screw it.
Just for the press conferences?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't be much different than the Knicks at the very beginning. So
yeah, it's just the recruiting rankings would probably be down in the hundreds.
Oh, yeah. But I always think it's so funny when they put NFL coaches on these lists. Like you have D'Amico Ryans at 22-1.
Oh, yeah. He's, you know, coaching a playoff game in 3 days.
Took the Texans to the playoffs in his first season. Yeah, get out of here.
Struck gold on his draft with CJ Stroud and Will Anderson. Yeah, he totally.
He's locked into a quarterback for the rest of his career. He's chilling. He's not coming.
He won the freaking lottery. Yeah.
Wow. It's over.
I'm surprised you're not wearing black.
Yeah, I thought about it, but I decided to go with team colors out of respect because Nick Saban did not die, like I said earlier. So let's just keep that in our brain. Nick Saban will never die. All right. If he dies, I'll actually probably cry.
So when does he pull a Barry Alvarez and then become the AD and then fire some coach mid-year and coach the bowl game? what is that
recently? Somebody did that recently.
It was Barry Alvarez did that a while ago. I think I felt like Philip Fulmer can getting close to that.
Stoops did it at Oklahoma. He coached a bowl game last
year. That's right.
Or 2 years ago after Lincoln Riley left. Oh, that's awesome.
How funny would that be?
I wouldn't hate it.
Coaches the bowl game and be like, you know what? I'm back.
Wow. All right. So who do you, what is worst case scenario for you for them to hire?
Like I said, Kalen DeBoer is my number one. If I'm the Alabama AD, worst case scenario is they somehow pull Kirby Smart, which isn't going to happen. That's worst case scenario. Other than that, like, I'm not really scared of anybody. There's like, that's the thing. Like, Kirby's probably the closest that we have currently in college football that's even close to Nick, but he's still like, yeah, he won. He did something that Nick never did. But like, he just, like, it just doesn't scare me. It just doesn't. Especially with how transfer portal and everything is going on. He's not going to be able to have a run like Nick Saban. But I mean, when it comes to all the coaches that would be available or that would be considered, like, all of them have their flaws. I mean, Kalen DeBoer, this is only going to be his third year going into the year three or year four at this level. He had a ton of success at the NAIA level. But, you know, so that's kind of scary. Again, not being in the South can come into that, depending on coaching hires and keeping their roster together and all that kind of stuff and all the politic game that you're going to have to – do at Alabama when you come in. Dan Lanning, again, I'm not sure about him. I mean, he's had 2 years of success, super young. I want to see, like, obviously you don't have the luxury of, I want to see what he does another year because you're going to have to make your mind now. But that just kind of worries me. Lane Kiffin is really good in the transfer portal, but hasn't shown it at the high school recruiting, which is what you need at a program. Now, part of that you can say is, well, it's because he's at Ole Miss. That's what I would say, but still not sure. He also does weird things and can cause some games with his in-game decision-making, which would drive Alabama fans crazy. Dabo, you basically said it all. I think he's kind of on the down to your turn, and I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he's the next big one to retire, whether it's this offseason or next offseason, especially if things don't change drastically very soon. Mike Vrabel from the Titans guy that just got fired, I think that would be a good hire if he actually cared to coach college kids, but he's not going to. So
yeah, I don't think he's going to. I'll say this: another reason why I am kind of growing on Lane is because Milroe is coming back next year, so I do feel like Lane will be able to work with Milroe a little bit better than somebody like Dan Lanning or even Kalen DeBoer. So I think that that's a reason I'm not completely out on him like I was last year. Because, like, I mean, you're going to have to figure it out again with Jalen Milroe next year. So if you have
a better offensive line. Yeah, Tommy Reese ain't staying probably.
I don't think he will. I mean, Kevin Steele already retired too, so.
Yeah, he came back to coach at Alabama just to get the state pension.
Yeah. Well, I told you. I told you last year he wasn't staying more than a year, so that one didn't really surprise me. Yeah. Wow. It's going to be interesting. Because, yeah, it would not surprise me one bit if Tommy Rees went somewhere else. I mean, especially if Lane came in. If Dan Lanning comes in, it wouldn't completely shock me if Tommy Rees stayed. But at the same time, obviously, like, he's going to want to bring his guys in his coordinator spots. So, wow.
It's about to get all blown up, Mason. And you haven't experienced this when you actually cared and had a more developed brain to actually process these things. And that's how it is for a lot of Bama fans now. And you know what, guys? It's a scary thing. I've been through three of them. So you'll make it eventually. Again, you'll go back through the stages of grief probably two more times until it happens. But I just know the sun will rise tomorrow.
I know I'm going to be sitting wherever tomorrow listening to 8 million podcasts about the entire thing. Probably just get depressed all over again. So it'll happen pretty quick.
We're going to be refreshing Twitter like every 2 minutes to see if there's any news going on. The Alabama version of Tiger Droppings is to see what insider information is coming out on the new coach and to then be told, oh, hey, it's the janitor that's going to be the head coach because this guy is trolling, or, you know, oh, hey, it's done with Lanning and it's not actually done. And
it's funny. I've already seen people tracking flights to Tuscaloosa. Somebody found a private flight from Oregon going to Tuscaloosa. And so they're like, oh, Dan Lanning, obviously going to come.
So stupid. So stupid. The flight aware.
Yeah, that's always one of my favorite parts of the coaching openings. It's just like the fans who go crazy about it. So I just sit back and enjoy.
Are constantly tracking FlightAware. It's like, all right, what planes are coming into Tuscaloosa? Where are they from? Who owns them?
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
All right. Well, I think we're going to call the emergency podcast, Mason. And it's time for you to go back and probably eat some more chocolate covered pretzels and maybe have some strong drink before you go to bed.
Yeah.
I expect there to be tears. And I'm fine with that. So,
oh, Cam, that hurts my feelings. That really hurts my feelings, Cam. I was very supportive of you when Ed Orgeron left.
Yeah, so. But I was happy when that happened.
I was not.
The same situation.
You were happy he left. I was really sad he left.
It seems like you're just always sad when we're really talking about legit coaching stuff that happens. And I'm always on the best side of it, being happy. Yeah. So
that's why I'm a little nervous right now. Look,
all right, we're going to call it. We'll be back maybe next week or the couple weeks, whenever the next one will do. And we'll talk to you guys next time.